Now, please, will you turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that Mike read for us, 2 Chronicles and chapter 26 in the Pew Bibles. It is... Thank you, 377, page 377 in the Pew Bible, 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. For a number of weeks now, we've been working our way through 2 Chronicles. And it is an exciting book because it is full of stories. We all like stories. I think most of us, at some time or another, we enjoy reading a really good biography because it takes us into the lives of people, and especially a good Christian biography shows us God's faithfulness, God's goodness. You know, you read the story of a person who's been through tremendous trials and difficulties, and you see how at every point God has been there and God has supported and sustained, and the lessons that they have learned in all those trials. Well, here we're reading not just biography written by human beings without the help of the Holy Spirit, but we are reading God written biographies. These are not just biographies of ordinary people. These were people whom God raised up as kings of his people, and then God by his Spirit wrote their stories. And so we've been working our way through Chronicles and seeing what lessons we learn from these kings in this book. Now, when we read about Uzziah, you know that, or you've seen that as Mike read it, the passage falls into two very neat sections. It's a very simple passage to preach, because the first 15 verses form the first part of his life. And then that verse 16, but, is obviously the second part. And when we read, I found this, when I read this, it was that second part that dominates your thinking. You begin to think about Uzziah and what he did in the latter part of his life and how God dealt with him. And you almost forget the first 15 verses. But we mustn't do that. Yes, there was a lot wrong with Uzziah, and Uzziah made loads of mistakes and got a lot of things wrong. And we will certainly come to that from verse 16. But I want to spend time looking at the first 15 verses, because as we do so, I think we will see that there is much here that we can give thanks to God for. Whenever we read the scripture, we must always make sure that we are looking for things for which we give thanks to God. The Bible commands us to do this. Give thanks to the Lord. Forget not his benefits. I was out cycling in the Cotswolds yesterday, and I cycled into a village, and there was a little sign, and it said, "This is a thankful village." And I was very intrigued. And I, you know, the wonderful thing, you have this phone now, and there and then you can sort of look it up. Did you know there are in the British Isles 53 thankful villages? Does anybody know what a thankful village is? Exactly. These are villages where every person who went to the First World War came back alive. Every person who went to the First World War from that village came back alive. And there are 53 such villages in Britain, and they've called themselves thankful villages. Isn't that wonderful? You know, can you imagine at the end of the war, as Britain was looking back on the devastation that there was in Britain and in Europe, and the millions and millions who had died? But these villages, yes, they looked at the disaster, but they said, now wait a minute, there is something to be thankful for. We in our village didn't lose anybody. All our recruits have come back alive. And they wanted, obviously, to give thanks to God for that. And this particular village, I don't know if the residents today know this is what it's about, but they had this little sign, this is a thankful village. So we must always look to that and say there's always reasons to give thanks to God. So the first thing I want us to look at in verses 1 to 15 is God's grace to Uzziah. That's what verses 1 to 15 is about. It's all about God's grace, which is why from 16, but is such a powerful but. It's such a powerful verse because there has been so much grace. Uzziah was a man who sinned against God in the light of a tremendous amount of grace. He was this man who had known tremendous blessing and blessing and blessing. And then despite all the blessings that he received, Uzziah turns against God and sins against God in the vilest manner possible. This is what makes this such a dreadful thing. But let's first of all look at the blessings that God gave to Uzziah. Notice in the first place that God gave to Uzziah a man who mentored him. A man who mentored him. You notice what it says in verses 4 and 5. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Now, do you remember when we looked at a previous king, Amaziah, we saw a similar thing. Indeed, this has happened before, that when a king has come on the throne, there's a godly man who is the priest. And the godly priest has undertaken to mentor the king. That's quite a courageous thing to do, to mentor the king. But this godly man has decided to mentor the king. The godly man has decided that he's going to give the king spiritual instruction, spiritual guidance. And there have been men in the past who've done this with the kings of Judah. And here was this godly man, Zechariah. We don't know who he was. He's not Zechariah the prophet, whose book we read in the Old Testament. That was much later. But there is this man called Zechariah, and God has put him there because Uzziah is young when he becomes king. He's 16 years old. I know there was this co-regency, but he still had responsibility. And so God, seeing that he's a young man, 16-year-old when he takes on royal responsibilities, puts there this man called Zechariah. And look at the words that are written about Zechariah in verse 5. He says, he set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. Who instructed him in the fear of God. And you can imagine this man Zechariah meeting up with the king Uzziah and reading the scriptures to him and praying with him. And talking to him about the scriptures, and talking to him about the Lord, and leading him into the history of Israel, and showing him how God had been with Moses, and how God had been with David and with Solomon, and how God has been faithful. And he says to Uzziah, this is the God of your fathers. This is the God who brought you out of Egypt. This is the God who has guided your fathers and has directed your land. And this is your God who has made you great promises. And he says to Uzziah, you have to walk in the fear of the Lord. Let me just explain that word fear. It doesn't have the same meaning as it does in the English language. It's a word that's used both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It does not mean to be afraid. We often use the word fear like that. We say, I fear such and such a thing. I'm afraid. But it doesn't mean that. It means reverence. It means to be in awe. It means to worship. And it means to submit to God. That's what fear means. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, says Solomon. And so Zechariah teaches Uzziah to revere God. He teaches him the character of God and the works of God and says to Uzziah, you must submit yourself to the Lord. And you see the grace of God in the influence that Zechariah had. In the past, there had been godly men in the kingdom. And they had been tremendously courageous. In the time of Ahab, there was a man called Micaiah. Tremendously godly man, a courageous man. But in the providences of God, these are the mysterious providences of God, Micaiah had no influence. That wasn't his fault. He was a godly man. He lived a godly life. He spoke courageously. Whenever King Ahab called Micaiah before him and said to Micaiah, "What should we do?" Micaiah always spoke the word of God. There was no compromise. There was no fear of the king. He spoke the word of God. But Micaiah had no influence on Ahab. Ahab brushed him aside. And Ahab continued in his wicked, ungodly ways. But in the providences of God, Zechariah has influence. This young man, 16-year-old, doesn't say, "I'm king. I have royal authority. My father is king. I'm in the line of David. Who are you, Zechariah, to tell me what to do and how to live my life and how to have a relationship with God?" He could have said that. We human beings are proud and arrogant. But God is at work in his heart. And he listens to Zechariah. And he follows what Zechariah says to him. So we see the grace of God in the life of Uzziah. God has set there Zechariah, and God gives Zechariah authority and influence over Uzziah. We also see that God made Uzziah prosper right at the end of verse 5. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. And we've got the record of this from verse 6. He went out and made war against the Philistines and broke through the wall of Gath. This is one of the Philistine cities. And the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod, another Philistine city. And he built cities in the territory of Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. Do you know it's been some decades since a king in Judah had success in war? Very interesting. If you go back over the chapters that we've read, and you look at the last time a king in Judah had success in war, it's actually been some decades. The previous kings have gone to war and they've been defeated. Uzziah goes to war against the Philistines. And look at what it says in verse 7. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gurbal and against the Meunites. The Ammonites paid tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread even to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. If we were tracing the history of Judah, or the history of God's people, we would say that during the time of David, they had territorial and economic prosperity. During the time of David, the people of God, Israel as a nation, territorial prosperity, economic prosperity, a big wealthy nation. From the time of David, the land began to shrink. More and more nations over whom David ruled began to take their own independence, and Judah had no power to stop them. Then Uzziah comes and the nation grows again. This is the first time in many, many, many decades that the nation of Judah has grown. The nation of Judah has been shrinking, but under Uzziah it is seeing growth. That verse that we all know in Isaiah chapter 6, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne." There's a tremendous amount of significance to that, because what Isaiah is saying is that the last great king of Judah died when I started my prophetic ministry. Uzziah was the last great king of Judah, the last king who won battles, the last king who saw territorial expansion, the last king who saw economic growth, economic prosperity. Now, of course, with economic prosperity, there comes sin in the land. It's one of those sad things. God gave prosperity to the nation, and God gave wealth to the nation. This is the grace of God. And we as human beings abuse these things. You read the prophecy of Isaiah. And Isaiah talks about how the people had become formal in their religion. Do you remember Isaiah chapter 1? God speaking to the people of Israel. And God says to the people of Israel, you come to the temple and you bring your animal sacrifices and you bring your prayers and you do everything that the law of Moses requires. You're very meticulous. You bring the right kind of animal, and that animal isn't lame or blind or anything like that. And you bring the right prayers and you can recite the Psalms. But your heart is not in it. You're not in it with your heart. It's all formality. It's all like going to church and repeating the liturgy, but your mind is somewhere else. We've all done this, haven't we? You know, if you go to a church where there is liturgy, and I've attended churches where there is liturgy, and after a few weeks, you can just be there reciting, and you're thinking to yourself, Manchester City won the FA Cup yesterday. They've got the double, and next week is the European Champions League final. They could do the treble. And all the time, you're just repeating the liturgy. These things happen. And this is what had happened to the people of Judah in the time of Uzziah. They were prosperous, they were wealthy, and they were comfortable. God had blessed them. They became formal in their religion. You know, friends, it's wonderful to live in a country where we don't go without. I was sharing at the Wednesday prayer meeting about the emails I'm receiving from friends in Kenya. Because the nation of Kenya is in absolute turmoil. The cost of living has gone up so high, the average family in Kenya can't afford to put a meal on the table. There is political turmoil. The government won the election, but the opposition refuses to accept the election results. And so the opposition have said to their supporters, every Thursday, you go into the major cities of Kenya and riot. Can you imagine the leader of the opposition doing this? That's what's happened. The leader of the opposition has said to his supporters, every Thursday, you go into the streets of Nairobi and all the major cities and you riot. All the shops shut, all the factories shut. People don't have work because there's unrest in the country. Now, you look at us as a nation. You have to marvel at the grace of God. We as a nation are so far from God. How often have we gone without a meal? How often have we thought to ourselves, I must go to the shop. Oh, the shops are shut because there's rioting in our nation. How often have we thought, my property, my car is out there, but there's danger, it could be wrecked because there are rioters running in the streets. I know occasionally a city like Cardiff had riots a few weeks ago. I appreciate that. But this is not a nationwide thing, is it? We get rain, we get sunshine. Our farms produce, our factories work, our shops work. People have wealth, people have prosperity, people have comfortable lives. And those of us who are Christians, we have to watch ourselves very, very carefully. Some of the hardest words that Jesus spoke were to the church in Laodicea. Do you remember what Jesus said to the church in Laodicea? This have I against you. You are neither hot nor cold. You are lukewarm. Therefore, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. I wish you were hot or cold, but you are neither hot nor cold. I see the Laodiceans like the people in the days of Uzziah. They were wealthy. You read the letter of Christ to the Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3. And Jesus writes to them and Jesus says to them, you say to yourselves, I'm wealthy. I'm prosperous. I have all that I need. And you cannot see that you are blind and naked. You need to buy salve from me. You cannot see your great needs because they had economic prosperity. Laodicea was a wealthy city. And with wealth, there seems to come this formality, this lukewarmness, this half-heartedness. Do you know, my friends, what Jesus is saying in that letter to the Laodiceans? He's saying, I would rather you didn't go to church and profess to be a Christian. There's nothing worse than a professing Christian who is lukewarm. Christ is the glorious Savior. Christ is the gracious, wonderful, kind, compassionate Lord of His church. And we go to church to worship this beautiful, glorious Savior, and we do so half-heartedly. Can you imagine anything more insulting? Can you imagine you've been given audience to King Charles III? You get a letter saying, King Charles III would like to hear from you because he wants to chat to you about your experiences of Clevedon. Would you come at Buckingham Palace? And you turn up at Buckingham Palace. And there is the King seated there. And he graciously invites you to sit. And you sit. And he says to you, now tell me about your life. You were born in Clevedon, weren't you? And you say, well, yeah, it's true. I was born in Clevedon, yes. Your phone and so on. Can you imagine doing that? Can you imagine being in the presence of the King, but not paying any attention to Him and speaking to Him? And this is what had happened in the days of Uzziah. Because of all this wealth and this prosperity. So the first 15 verses speak about God's grace to Uzziah. And I'm just pointing out the dangers that come with it of lukewarmness, which did come. But God was gracious to Uzziah and his people. Well, secondly and sadly, the second half of this passage from verse 16, the pride and the arrogance of Uzziah. There are four words that stand out in this passage. And the way that I'm not an expert in the Hebrew, but the way that the Hebrew sentences are structured, they are structured to bring to our attention four words. Three of them are found in verse 16, and one is found in verse 19. It says in verse 16, but when he was strong. Now, that word strong actually means independent. When he felt himself to be no longer dependent upon God. Uzziah came to the throne when Judah was quite weak. And God prospered Uzziah, and the nation became stronger and stronger. And the nation overpowered the Philistines and took over Philistine cities and became economically prosperous. And there came a point when Uzziah thought, I'm no longer dependent upon God. I've now built my nation. We've now got a strong economy. The economy runs itself. We've got a strong finance system. We've got a strong army. We're now okay. We don't have to go with God. When he felt himself to be independent, that's what the word means there. So you've got the word strong or independent. You've got the second word in verse 16. He grew proud. Arrogant, boastful to his destruction. The third word, for he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. And then in verse 19, then Uzziah was angry. Those four words describe Uzziah's descent into sin and rebellion. He felt himself to be strong enough, independent. I don't need God. When I became king, we were a small nation. We were a weak nation. We were vulnerable. The nations around our boundaries were strong, and we could have been attacked at any time. But over the years that God has prospered us, we've become strong. We've overpowered our surrounding nations. We're now a big country. We've got a strong economy. He feels himself to be independent of God. Am I speaking to the Western culture of the 21st century? I think I am. It is one of the things you notice, isn't it, when you travel. You travel to a country that is economically poor. You don't meet atheists. I'm not saying they're better than we are, but it is very interesting. You don't meet atheists. Because people in poor countries know that they're dependent upon God. They may not be Christians, but they know that they must be dependent upon God. But as nations become powerful, as nations become economically wealthy, true religion suffers because people have become independent. So he becomes, in his own mind, independent. He becomes proud. This is the sins of the heart. He now is arrogant. And he's basically saying to himself, the word of God doesn't matter. Because in the law of Moses, it says very clearly that only somebody who is a Levite from the tribe of Levi can enter into the temple with incense and burn incense. Those Levitical duties were in the hands of the priests. Uzziah, being a descendant of David, is from the line of Judah. Now the people of Judah, yes, they were set apart for kingship, but not for the priesthood. Only one descendant of Judah can be both king and priest, and that is Christ. But in the Old Testament, the descendants of Judah belong to the throne room, to the palace, not to the temple. But you see, he's become proud and he's become arrogant, and the word of God doesn't matter. And so the third word comes. He is unfaithful. He breaks the law. He breaks what law Moses has written down. He's unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. He's arrogating to himself authority and power that he does not have. And so the priests, and we thank God for these priests, Azariah, went up to him with 80 priests of the Lord. And they withstood the king and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Verse 19, Uzziah was angry. He wouldn't accept correction. If that verse had said, Uzziah was humble. If it had said, Uzziah repented. And Uzziah turned around and said, you're absolutely right. I shouldn't have done it. And I got caught in my arrogance. Please forgive me. Well, that would have been fine. The Lord would have forgiven him. But you see, this is adding sin upon sin. This is the four words that I'm bringing to your attention. It's like a stepladder. It begins with this independence. I'm now strong enough and powerful enough. And it leads to arrogance, and then to unfaithful action, and then to an unrepentant heart. Uzziah was angry. Well, God deals with sin. Particularly when it's a sin of this magnitude, God deals with it. And God is doing here more than punishing Uzziah. God is saying to Uzziah, you are unclean. Leprosy is the uncleanness of the body. And he is struck with leprosy when he became angry with the priests. Leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priests in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. I think the greatest lesson Uzziah has to teach us is how we are to guard our hearts, particularly as we live in a nation like Britain, where we are so comfortable. And God has blessed this nation. And we have so much. And we live easy lives. And we can become, as Uzziah's people did, we become formal in our religion. We become half-hearted in our religion. Our goods begin to matter to us. Worldly comforts begin to matter to us. And passion for the Lord and zeal for God and prayer to God and worship to God begins to take a second place. We don't deny God. We don't go away from God. We don't actually apostate. But we do become half-hearted. A great warning from Uzziah. Also a warning from Uzziah of how wealth leads to these sins. We think we are independent of God. We don't need God anymore. We've got our works and we've got our pension and we've got our insurance policies and we've got a nice house and we've got a nice car and we've got the NHS. Why do we need God? There's this independence that comes in. And that leads to pride, unfaithfulness, and anger. And Uzziah was punished of God. He died a leper. Verse 21. The king Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. And being a leper, lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. He was cut off from God because of his sin. So praise God for his grace to Uzziah. And let us take lessons from his sin and ask God to protect us from such things.